Hey everybody, what's up? You are listening to the Keep Calm and Read On Vodcast, where I, Danielle, your host, talk about something book-related while you watch me probably playing video games, but I might change it up to like a travel video or whatever. Title to be announced. I don't have a creative title at the moment, so I'm just going with my blog name because it's original. Keep Calm and Read On, because you haven't heard that before, right? Yeah. So once again, as I literally just said, these videos are just me sitting down in front of a microphone talking about books, whether it's reviewing a book or talking about a group of books or talking about something book related. As long as it's about books, it'll be on here and it will most likely be over a video game. So it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited. Let's get into it. And also a disclaimer, because apparently we need these now. This is just my opinion. Just my opinion. I always love to believe that I can think objectively, but you can't. You just can't. You can't. Can't think objectively. So let's just come together and say we all have opinions. This is mine, and you have yours too. And that's okay. Let's just get along. All right? Okay. Cool. Awesome. Yes. I just hit my microphone. Okay. Let's talk about The Cursed Child, right? Harry Potter and The Cursed Child. Oh, I have a late response to this play, but I'm here to talk about it now and all its glory. Whatever. So, I heard of this play because, I mean, how could you not hear of it? When you're a Harry Potter fan and you're following all the Harry Potter news sources, particularly MuggleNet, you're going to hear about this play. And I remember I was actually writing for MuggleNet at the time, and there's this huge thing of, is it a prequel? What? Who dares interrupt me? Who dares to interrupt this important video? So anyway, like I was saying, I was writing for MuggleNet, and there was this whole thing about J.K. Rowling, how she said that it's not a prequel, but yet lots of news sources had said, well, it's actually going to be about Harry living under the cupboard under the stairs, and it's like, wait, how is that not a prequel? I'm so confused, oh my gosh. As a Harry Potter fan, I should have been like, well, don't trust the news media, like, duh, but, you know, I didn't think that. I didn't. So, but it's not a prequel, like she said, so oops. Should have trusted Joe. So yeah, not a prequel. Definitely not a prequel. When it was announced that it's called The Cursed Child, and it was about Albus Severus Potter, I was actually kind of like, huh. This could be really good, or really bad. I don't think there's really an in-between, per se. Just really good or really bad. So, before I even get into my opinions on this book, play, I want to talk about, real quick, J.K. Rowling and canon. J.K. Rowling is not very solid when it comes to canon, alright? We can all address this and agree with this, okay? Canon is, for those who don't know, it's a set of rules that are set out by an author or a group of people, you know, to understand something. So for example, like the Catholic Church, there are certain rules in the Catholic Church that are a part of the canon of the church. And Harry Potter has a canon. The Harry Potter canon is the 7 books. Now, if you're over there and you're like, well, what about the movies? What about the movies? Well, the movies actually are their own canon. There's Harry Potter book canon and Harry Potter movie canon. So it makes things easy. Because the Hermione in the Harry Potter books is not the same Hermione as in the Harry Potter movies, you know? So J.K. Rowling has always backed the movies for the most part. But in my opinion, the movies never really, they took their own liberties, let's put it that way. But J.K. Rowling, getting back to her, She does not understand canon. J.K. Rowling likes to spit out a lot of information. Dumbledore's gay. Ron and Hermione have marital problems. You know, it's not like I don't like this information. Well, the Ron and Hermione thing, ugh, get away from me. But in all seriousness, like the Dumbledore being gay thing, that's really interesting. But it's not canon. It's just not. Why? Because it's not in the books. If you say there's an apocalypse and everything is destroyed except 7 Harry Potter books and one person lives who's never heard of Harry Potter, they're going to read these books and that's how they're going to understand them. This is Harry Potter's story. They're not going to have any other information. And that's okay because you don't need that information. It's nice to have that information. I think it's really awesome that Dumbledore is gay and, you know, his story is very interesting. But it's not canon. And you can't say it is. But J.K. Rowling just thinks she's the queen of everything and she says it. And it's so annoying. Whew, I'm ranting on J.K. Rowling now. To be honest, I think she's a really smart woman, but she's very bothersome when it comes to this kind of thing. Well, she outright said that this play is canon. What? Really, girl? Really? You're gonna say that? You're gonna say this is canon? I think that's an insult to your fans. We're gonna go into why. So let's quickly branch off for a second and talk about the book that came out last summer, Ghosts at a Watchman. Watchman? By Harper Lee. Now, To Kill a Mockingbird is one of my favorite books of all time, and to hear that this sort of prequel or sequel was coming out of it was kind of disheartening. I think a lot of times, like, I love series, I read series books all the time, but sometimes I just want to read one book, one solid book, and something that is complex but doesn't make it so complex that it has to span out multiple volumes. It's just nice to have it in one volume. And I like that a lot. So, especially when it's a classic book, you always hope it will remain the same, no matter what. But unfortunately, that's never the case. With Harper Lee, there's a lot of political issues I have with the whole reasoning for them publishing Ghosts at a Watchman. But here's what the thing is. When I read Ghosts at a Watchman, I read it under the pretense that I knew it wasn't real. It was a rough draft, essentially. It was the publishing company taking advantage of a script that they had no right to publish, but they published it anyway. And to me, it's more of like, hey, this is how Harper Lee started off. This was her book before it became To Kill a Mockingbird. It's like, sort of like for me as a writer, it's like, oh yeah, my book can suck in the beginning, but it could get better. It could get better. At the end of the day, Ghost at a Watchman was a rough draft. I don't count it even as a book, and I don't hold it against To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird is still one of my favorite books, and that's not going to change because of a rough draft. I actually think Ghost at a Watchman was really insightful to read because it does show the writing process, especially when it comes to a book as amazing as To Kill a Mockingbird. I think we glorify certain works and we forget that these novelists are human beings and struggled a lot with writing as well, that they are not gods in their own right. They're people and they too have made mistakes with writing. So it's kind of cool seeing that published, but to me it's not a book. It is a rough draft and that's it. And this is the same approach that I took when reading Cursed Child. So, back to canon now. To say this is canon is blasphemy in terms of Harry Potter, which is crazy how the author is the one committing the blasphemy. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, this is an opinion. So, J.K. Rowling has every right to say these things, especially the fact that she's the author. But me personally, I do think it is overstepping a boundary that she's saying this. One thing I love about the Harry Potter books is that they always cover their bases. That is such an important quality to have of a series. It's always so frustrating when you read a group of books that are very inconsistent. Harry Potter was never like that. In fact, Harry Potter understood the laws it set up, and it continues with them, and it never falters in understanding them. Which is crazy because, you know, obviously J.K. Rowling wrote those, but yet when a play comes out that literally bends all of the rules backwards and forwards, and then the author says, oh, yep, this is canon, this works. It's like, wait. I feel like my intelligence is being questioned, right? Right? Can we agree on that? I feel like my intelligence is being questioned, because clearly, when you read this play, all those laws are out the window, all that build-up in the books, nope, shoot, out the door. Just out the door. Crazy, right? I mean, you have the biggest issue, which is the time turners. The time turners. It makes no sense. This whole play, the time turners, like, the whole play is grounded. Like, okay, if the play is a house, then this house is made out of sand, and it's, the waves are coming, and it's gonna dissolve really quickly, because the whole plot is built on the idea of time turners, which were destroyed in book 5 of Harry Potter and Order of the Phoenix. Do you see what I'm getting at? And okay, another thing. Say the time turners weren't destroyed. Okay, let's give Rowling, sorry. How dare I call myself a Harry Potter fan. I mispronounced her name. J.K. Rowling, I'm gonna give her the benefit of the doubt and say, well, maybe the time turners weren't destroyed. Okay. But it still doesn't make sense. For example, the kids, they go back in time, like, years. In the third Harry Potter book, Dumbledore says to Hermione that it's 3 turns to go back 3 hours. That means 1 turn for every hour. How many times did these kids turn this time turner? It's not possible. It literally is not possible. Not only that, but the way time is set up in the books is that it's consistent. Nothing can be changed. Whatever has happened is set in stone. And if you go back in time, you are going under the understanding that you have already been there, and this is confusing, and you've already, what's going to happen is going to happen. I didn't explain that right. So for example, in the third Harry Potter book, Harry and Hermione go back in time to rescue Buckbeak and Sirius, correct? Yes. Well, when the trio are leaving Hagrid's hut, and they hear the McNair, I think his name is, swing his axe down, but they don't see what he swings it down on. They hear Hagrid crying. It's not because Buckbeak was killed right then. No, actually, McNair swung down his axe because he was frustrated and he smashed a pumpkin. Why was Hagrid crying? Because he was so happy that Buckbeak had gotten away. How did these things happen? Because Harry and Hermione were already back in time messing with these things. Right. So, if that's our understanding, then how come, and this is spoiler territory, okay? Spoiler territory. Then how come, what's his name? Albus and Scorpius can go back in time. I mean, it can't even happen. None of it can happen, first of all. They can't even change time. You can't change time. You literally can't. You can't change time. Anyway, so you can't change time. But they go back in time, and they get Cedric's wand away from him. But yet, at another point in the story, Hermione goes back in time and counteracts this curse. Then it would never have happened if Hermione had gone back. It would never have worked. Like, nothing would have ever changed. It's a castle built in the sand, okay? It's the fantastic metaphor of the castle built in the sand. That is this play, and it sucks. Okay. Ugh. So, we'll let that go now. We're gonna let this go. I'm gonna move on. Alright. So, let's talk about the Twilight moment in this play, shall we? I was listening to a podcast from MuggleCast. Spoiler-free review of this play. And they were like, oh, and there's this moment. It's a twilight moment, but we won't say what it is. So I'm sitting there thinking, God, what happens in this play that deserves a rating like that? I mean, that is just insane. And I really wondered, like, if I would notice it when I came across the twilight moment. And yeah, I did. I definitely noticed it. You know what it is? That Voldemort has a freaking kid with Bellatrix. No. Just no. Nope. Not at all. Nope. No.
No! God! No! God! Please, no! 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 No!
And for the most part, my only other criticism with this play is that it has a lot of clunky character moments. The characters that were once really smart are dumbed down. They're given cliche lines. Harry is that cliche dad who doesn't know what he's doing. And Ron's become the funny guy, more like his film counterpart, which means that the canons are confused. They're confused. Ugh. Anyway, and it's just annoying. But let me say, despite all the bad stuff, the story does have potential. If you take out all of the time turner stuff, you actually might have a really good story. I really love the interaction with the trio. The fact that Hermione is the Minister of Magic, like, hell yeah, you go, girl. Yes, queen. But, you know. And it's nice to see hints back to the original books. Scorpius and Albus have a really good friendship. Personally, I don't know why they're not gay. They're gay for each other. They should be gay. And like I said, if there was just more character motivation, then I would really like this story more. I just don't see how a kid who has daddy issues would take this drastic measure to do things. Because if we're led to understand that Albus has a much different upbringing than Harry. So Harry might have done drastic things in his childhood, but well, he was in a lot of danger a lot of times. Albus is not. Albus is living a comfortable life, quite frankly, and we don't even get that much evidence of him and his dad having tension. It skips over most of it building up. Like, we start him the first year of Hogwarts for Albus, and then we're already at year four, and I'm like, wait, you expect me to believe that there's been tension? You didn't even show me. You skipped over it. Why? Dear God, why? And a lot of characters aren't even here. Like, why save Cedric Diggory? Why not save Lupin and Tonks? And bringing up Lupin and Tonks. Where was Teddy Lupin? Where was he? What is happening? Okay. And now, finally, the whole, like, I'm gonna critique it even more. The climax, Harry turning into Voldemort and fighting Delphi. Oh my God, so freaking stupid. The fact that Harry was there the night of his parents' death brings up so much conflict, so much unnecessary stuff to think about. Ruins it. Literally ruins the story. I will never, ever call this canon. Just no. No. Now, real quick, I want to address the whole elephant in the room that was such a huge controversy when this play was first casting, and that's the fact that Hermione is played by a black woman. So this is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard, particularly from Harry Potter fans, that we can't see Hermione played by an actress who isn't white. Like, that is so ridiculous. Now, the thing is, I personally do not think Hermione's black. J.K. Rowling makes a point of pointing out black characters in her stories oftentimes. Either she'll say they have dark skin or what have you. Hermione Even at one point, I apologize, I should have gotten a textual example, but she actually does say, like, she has pale skin. Now, granted, that doesn't mean much. A black person can definitely have pale skin, so that's unfair of me to say. But I do think that Hermione's white, especially the fact that J.K. Rowling literally said when Emma Watson was cast that she was exactly as she envisioned her and was perfect for the role. J.K. Rowling can't say that she never gave Hermione a race. It's insulting and it's derogatory. It's just ridiculous. However, who gives a crap about what race Hermione is played? Or, sorry, I said that wrong. Who gives a crap about the race? Who cares what the race is of the person playing Hermione? It doesn't matter. I mean, it literally doesn't. It is up to the creator of said play or adaptation to shape this character for the adaptation they're working on. And that could mean that it's not the same race as the book. And that's literally fine. And not only that, but a lot of people who read the books envisioned Hermione as black. So, get over it. Racist people, get over it. It sounded like, from what I heard, she did a really good job. So, just don't. Like, why is this a thing? I don't even know. Those are my thoughts on Cursed Child, in a nutshell. If you want to connect with me, visit my blog, www.keepcommonreadon.net. That's it for me. Thanks for watching. Let me know your thoughts on The Cursed Child in the comments. Talk to you later.